Welcome to another episode of the Nice Job Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hill. Welcome in to episode 72 here at the Nice Job Podcast. Just a couple more to go here in season three. We'll actually wrap it up before the end of 2021. We'd love to hear your feedback on this season or your favorite episodes. You can leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast or drop us an email, podcast@nicejob.com. All right, let's see who our guest is today.
Hi, I'm Ramona Rice.
Ramona, so glad we were finally able to have you on the show. Can you give us a little hint, a little tip on some of the things we'll learn today?
One thing that will kill the sale is assuming too much.
Well. We'll explore that and plenty more here in this episode of the Nice Job Podcast. Let's dive in. If you like energetic episodes, if you like ones filled with positivity and filled with passion, you picked the right one. I mean, all of them are great. There was that one bad episode, but I don't think we've made that many bad episodes. But in particular, I know it's going to be a good one even before the conversation starts, just based on the positivity and energy that I know our guest is going to bring. Who is that guest, you ask? Well, allow me to introduce her. She's a mom. She's a CEO. It is Ramona Rice. Ramona, thank you so much for joining us here on the Nice Job Podcast.
Sean, thank you so much. Super excited to be here. And yay, I don't know how excited or energetic I'll be because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon right now. And it's been a long day. I'll be honest. We've had to do CEO things today. I had to say no a lot. I think that's my job, really. I should have told you to say the person who says no all the time.
Yeah, yes. we talk about the title with mom and CEO. Well, just to build right off that, Ken, she brought it up. What's it harder to say no as, a mom or a CEO?
Oh, CEO for sure. Being a mom's easy. That's because you know you have autonomy over them, honestly. It's like, no. And I've always had the mindset of my kids. I'm like, I'm your mother, not your friend. Therefore, I don't care if you like me. What I care about is that am I making you a productive adult? That's my job. If you're a productive, if I've kept you off the pole, out of jail, and we've never been featured on Dateline, we have done well as parents.
There you go. I feel like those are key goals that all parents should strive out for. And you know what? As much as I'd love to dive into the mom side of things, I am definitely unqualified on that side. And many would say I'm unqualified for the CEO side, but we're going to focus a little bit more on that one. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today and one I wanted to dive into this episode is a lot of people listen to the Nice Job Podcast. There's a variety of different industries, and they come from a variety of different backgrounds. But I've always found there's common themes that tend to run through all those businesses. One in particular, obviously, you know, we're going to bring this up first about how reputation matters, how it's a true pillar of growth, and how it's really going to, you know, the only things you come in with business and also leave with is your reputation. Everything else can kind of be cyclical in a way. The other thing that always tends to come down is we talk about leadership style, leadership buy-in, and really setting a good culture. And then the biggest element, which we'll kind of live a little bit in today, though I know we'll touch on the other two, is about that kind of customer experience, the customer journey, you know, how people feel when they're interacting with your business from the first contact point to the end. And I guess I didn't really get into kind of what you do, you know, your industry and things like that. So I guess we'll kind of start there. If no one's heard the name Ramona Rice, what's our key bullet points, our key stat sheet? What do we need to know about you, your industry, and what your expertise is in that sense?
Sure. So I run and own a 7,500 square foot day spa in Virginia, southeastern Virginia. So think where Pocahontas lived and the Battle of Yorktown for you Hamilton fans. I'm literally 20 minutes from that battle. I probably have stood where Hamilton stood. Yes, I'm that cool. But regardless, I own a 7,500 square foot day spa. So I have three sets of customers. First are the external customers that come in and get spa services like massages and skincare, the internal customers, which are my independent contractors that do said services. And then finally are the shareholders, i.e. my family, because it is a family-owned business. So there's a lot of different levels of customer care and customer service. And also, some of you who've heard me before, I have a podcast called Spapreneur in the spa space. And we talk about, again, how to run day spas. But you're absolutely right, Sean. Pretty much you can learn basic fundamentals of customer care, customer service from any industry. If it's good customer service, you can bring it to your business. And it's so important to think about that entire customer experience and not just the endpoint where they're paying. I'm talking like before when they're researching when they're gathering that information. And that's why reputation is a huge part of our business, because I cannot tell you how many times someone has called us and said, we pitch you because your reviews are so good. We pitch you because you had so many reviews. We pitch you because so-and-so said we should go. Or we see a Facebook post. Hey, where should I go to get a massage? Oh, you got to go De-Stress. And it's like, the name's De-Stress Express. And it's like 10 people commenting on it. And I'm just as the owner going like, love, 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 all those things. So absolutely. It doesn't matter if you're running like a carpet care business or cleaning service or your doctor. Bottom line is, if your customers are happy, they are going to be prophets throughout the world. And they're going to do it through online and talking to their friends and family and saying, I love this so much that you need to go experience it. And there's a lot of ways they'll do that.
And I think the key identifying question that perhaps – this is the question I think you should start off with. And I kind of want to get your opinion on that one, is really at the core of it, figuring out what happiness looks like for the customer. And I think because that's the thing that you kind of look across the industry. At what point, what are they feeling? What are they doing? Do you think that's the right mindset to take as you start to build that? Or is there something maybe I'm overlooking?
No, I think it's a good place to start. And I think the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is the customer expecting from you? You know, I hate the term the customer's always right. That is wrong. It is false. Throw that away. If a customer says that to you, that is not the right customer for you. Get them out of your place immediately. Like seriously, like kick them to the curb. I'm not kidding. Fire bad clients. And the reason I say that is because if the customer's always right, the customer's job in a transaction is to get the goods or services at the lowest price possible. The job for the business owner who's selling said services or said products is to sell them at the best rate possible, not at the highest rate, the best rate. You don't want to gouge anybody. And so if the customer's always right, that means the owner is always wrong. And I hate that. So one of the things I do when I'm working with my massage therapist here, my front desk, or with my spa-pandor, is I get them to switch that paradigm. And I get them to say, we must meet the client's expectation. Who sets that expectation is us. We need to be really clear in our communication and what we offer. And if we can't do that, I'll give an example. So just last week, we got two one-star reviews on Google. That's always fun. Heads up, I use the Nice Job system. It's great. And so I got in there. I was like, oh, what is this about? It was about a woman who was upset because we charged our no-show policy. It is expected for our clients to show up on time, ready to get their services. If not, we will charge the full amount, and we ask for a credit card on file to keep that. They sign that acknowledgement on their client waiver. It's on our website. It's on literally everything, Sean. And we talk about it when they book the appointment and when we remind them of the appointment. And this woman didn't show up. And then she only called us when she got charged. And so she got mad and wanted us to reverse charge. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Because we were clear in our expectations. Your job, client, is to show up on time and to pay us this amount. Our job is to provide great care. Now, if on the other hand, she did her part, she came on time and did not get great care, then we have a problem and we didn't meet that customer's expectation. And that's, I think, the first step, is making sure you're clearly communicating. What are the expectations? If I'm doing something at this price, here's what you're going to get. And if you happen to throw in a few extras, you know, under promise, over deliver, that sort of thing, that's fantastic. But you must make sure that customer understands the expectations of what they're going to get for that price. And if they don't, you need to have that conversation with them, or you need to look at your marketing, look at the way you onboard clients to make sure they understand. And some will never get it. This woman was never going to get it. So then she went under her husband's Google name. And so I got to respond again going, this is your husband's name. Let's not do this. But here's the whole scenario again. So I called her out because she decided to act a fool. And the reason I have the confidence to do that, Sean, is because we have thousands of five-star reviews. Thousands of them, because we made it a real emphasis in our company to get reviews, gather them, hunt them out, ask clients to give it to us. And because we have so many, I welcome the BS one-star reviews, because I'm like, you give validity to all my good ones.
And because also then you're actually, that exact story that you told is, we set expectations, the customer didn't do the basics, we followed our protocol, we followed our expectations, we've set the standard, and now anyone reading that review understands, like, okay, well, I'm a chronically late person, like blowing things off. Maybe this isn't the business for me, but that's a customer that you don't want, right? It's unreliable, causes more problems along the board, costs you more business in the long run. So you talk about firing the customers you don't want. That's a great example. And I've often said that bad reviews are just failure to meet expectations. And so that then comes down to, okay, well, I want to set these expectations. I want to tell my customers, you know, this, this, and this. But I'm not sure, is this something I need to bombard them with at the very beginning? Like, before you go any further, like, what is that balance between setting proper expectations, but also enticing them with marketing? How do you find that balance?
So the first thing is that I love featuring what are the benefits of me buying this service? What's the benefits of me buying this product? So the benefits of me getting massage, for example, is I'm going to feel less stressed than when I walked in. That's the benefit. I'm going to walk away feeling energized and ready to go. Or a skincare treatment. My skin is going to look better than when I walked in. Or if I use this product, it will do this. So I like to focus on those benefits first and foremost. But then it's part of the education piece for the client. That you, especially service providers, you have to educate the client. So let's say it's a carpet shampoo, for example. If you've got a client who is getting their carpet shampooed and they continually wear shoes in the house, we know their carpets are going to get what? Dirty quicker. So you may do a blog post saying, hey, one easy way to keep your carpets clean is to remove your shoes. That's one piece of information. And you start all these little tips you like to give your clients. Sprinkle them throughout your marketing, throughout the talks with your clients, throughout the like your blog pieces, do some PR, these kind of things. Respond to reviews that question the validity of your product and saying, well, here is the benefit our clients normally get. We're so sorry you didn't get that. And then if it was your fault, answer up, say, this was our fault. We're going to fix it. Or if it was the client's fault, say, thank you so much for your feedback. And that's how you do it. It's like a sprinkling because you don't want to bombard the client with too much information. At the same time, you want to have it in places where, because there are those, like my husband is that detail oriented. He wants to know everything, everything. He just loves those minute details. He's a very micro thinker. And because of that, and I'm a very macro thinker, I'm like, once I decide something, that's it. I'm acting, I'm going. Whereas he's a very micro thinker. So you have to have places on your website and you have to have the knowledge within your team to be able to answer those micro questions that some clients like to ask. But then also make it stupid easy for those macro buyers who are like, I'm just ready to buy right now.
So I wanted to ask you almost to take what I know that you do and almost to transport it into something different. And what I mean by that is you know, the spa experience. You and I talked to when we were on a podcast earlier before about that moment when people are coming to the spa, how quickly they're starting to look for signs that they're in the right place, they're in the right thing. But a lot of our, you know, home service professional listeners, things like that, they're going to someone else's home, right? They're kind of going into that environment. So almost to use the old sports term, like the home field advantage.
Sure.
How can someone really transport the same things that I know you do within your spas to make sure that from the first sort of moment that they're getting that feeling, how can they do that in a traveling sort of way, or you know, when they're going into someone else's home turf, how do they have a good road game in that sense?
First thing is you want to make sure you are setting the expectation a couple of days before. This is what you should expect when we arrive. This is what needs to happen. So again, let's talk about carpet cleaners. I don't know why I'm on to carpet cleaners. I have like all floor, like hardwood floors in my house, but I'm just into carpet cleaning right now. So I've been watching a lot of TikTok, Sean, about carpet cleaning. It's fascinating. That,
yep.
And the dirt is just deliciously great to watch it get flushed down the toilet. Anyway, so think about it. So if I'm a carpet cleaning company, right, and I have a carpet cleaning van, I'm going to tell them, okay, you're going to expect these two technicians. Here are their names. This is what we need you to remove from the rooms. This is what we can and cannot remove from your rooms. This is what we're expecting the home to be like. We're expecting that there are going to be no pets that are going to be in the way or humans in the way. We're expecting that there's no furniture in the way of where you want to go. And then we also need to set in that kind of onboarding email. This is what you can reasonably expect from this one treatment. Be prepared that we may need to come back for an additional treatment. And that may be between this and this cost. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, especially if you're traveling, your cars must be clean, folks. Okay. So that's your mobile office. Like I'm a big believer. And so we have a beautiful like butterfly garden when people walk up, beautiful bench. We have beautiful holiday decorations right now because it's the holiday sign, but I make sure the front area is clean. So like, for example, we used to have smokers, not in our day spa, but around us. I went to all the businesses and said, absolutely not. We need to come up with a better place because this doesn't look good to any of us. So make sure that they're not smelling like smoke. Make sure their teeth are brushed. I hate to say this, but in this day and age, we have to check on those things. Make sure that they introduce themselves. Do they have a script? This is, hi, I'm such and such. Here's how I'm going to handle your home today. This is what you can expect of me. This is how you're going to feel safe having me in your home. I think that comes down to it, particularly with COVID and everything else going on. People want to feel safe. So make sure you put the expectation out. If you expect the homeowner to wear a mask while they're in the home, then make sure you put that on there. It's a reasonable accommodation, or the homeowner can step out, whatever those accommodations are. But I think that's, again, it goes back to the expectation, Sean, of you have to be almost stupid clear. You cannot assume in this business, you cannot assume in any business that the client will understand what they need to do. I cannot tell you when I was an active massage therapist, no longer active massage therapist, but when I wasn't clear enough with the client, how many naked butts I saw on top of sheets because I wasn't clear enough about where they should lie down. And it gets really embarrassing after a while to see all these. So you learn really quickly to say, okay, we're going to get underneath both of these sheets and we are going to take everything off because I need to work muscles there. And you got to explain why. Same thing. So again, if you need, like, for example, I have a ferocious dog. She's great to me, but she hates other people. So I know I have to lock her up. I have to have time to lock up. So one of the things before I have a technician come in is I say, please don't ring the doorbell. It'll make my dog nuts. And I judge the experience right then and there if they listen to that request, because it's a really easy one.
That brings up a good point of sometimes those are key questions that can differentiate yourself, right? So saying like, hey, would you like us to ring the doorbell, knock on the door? Like, how would you like us to let you know they're here? Because some people might say, oh, great. Actually text me. I'll put the dog away. Then you come up, won't be that big of a deal. Or you know what? Like the kids might be sleeping during that time. So just, you know, let me know. Or someone might say, you know what? I'm working with headphones on. Make sure you're knocking loud. You know, make sure you're doing this. That's a key question when you ask. That's setting an expectation that we want you to have the ultimate experience. Our founder here at Nice Job, Lars Christensen, likes to say that you should be selling 8- and 10-star experiences, right? If you're just selling 5-star experiences, you're limiting yourself there. Go above and beyond. And I think that's a small little subtle thing that you can add to your experience that shows you're kind of above and beyond. Which then brings into, okay, well, if you're a sole entrepreneur, you're a very small team, so it's very easy to have that quality control. When it comes to teaching your team and making sure that they're not assuming in things of that nature, is there strategy or techniques that you've used in the past, or is it really just come down to these regular check-ins to make sure that everyone's doing it the right way?
It's a combination of both. So I'm in an interesting business because I have contractors. So legally, I cannot tell them exactly what to do, but I can say these are foundational pieces that we will not contract with anybody who cannot meet these bare standards. And we actually expect more than that. And we show them the data going, if you do go above and beyond, this is how much more money you can make. So there's that right there. But with my front desk staff, particularly, I am very fortunate. In college, I did the Disney internship. So I spent 6 months down in Orlando working at Disney. And nobody does customer service, guest relations better than Disney. Nobody. And just learning all the little things they do to make that guest experience so phenomenal. And it comes down to, like you said, you know, it's easy to personalize. So I let my front desk, for example, I do not give them a script of you must say exactly this thing. I'm like, please hit these points. But I want their personality to shine. The other thing is part of that hiring process is you need to make sure that you understand your strengths as a business owner and that you're hiring your weaknesses. So, for example, I am a messy person. Believe it or not, Sean, I know you can't tell with my office looks so clean because I have other people that keep it clean for me because I am messy and I just pile things. And so I surround myself with neat freaks. So they keep it clean and they keep me accountable. And I have to be humble enough and vulnerable enough to allow that in. The biggest problem when people, and it's funny because I'm shifting more into coaching in this, is that when we decide to bring on people to help us grow, because there's only so much a solo entrepreneur can make, it's just not possible. When we decide to branch out and bring other people in, it's a vulnerability that has to happen. Because you are now trusting your baby, your business, with other human beings. And that is so scary. So the most important thing you can do is, number one, is consistently coach on the spot. When you notice something's wrong, do it gently. Don't do it in front of the clients. Don't do it in front of the customers. But say, hey, I'd rather you approach it this way. And then give a reason why. This isn't because I said so situation. You can't do that. Mom, you can do that. But for business, you can't. Give them the why. I want you to repeat back the phone number in case you accidentally make a mistake, because we need to be able to get a hold of clients in case we need to reschedule or do something with that. It's so important we get that information. You need to follow whatever it says, how you communicate with the client outside this office, because that client made it important for us to know that. And then when they don't do it, you have to hold them accountable. So the first thing I do is I have a meeting and a touch point saying, okay, we didn't meet this expectation. So this is your freebie. This is how are we going to correct this? And I let them come up to me and we come up with a plan together. Then if they do it again, then I have to say, we're going to document this. because we need to show a paper trail so that we can show how much you're going to improve, because I believe in you this much. And you go from there. If they don't improve from that point, then you do need to get rid of this person. They're not going to represent your brand well. And which is why I'm always saying, always be hiring. And I know right now everybody's like, no one's hiring. No one wants to work. That's malarkey. If you're a place that it's fun to work for, that you're paying a good wage, you will find great people. You just have to be willing to do it. It's no different than any other sales. So your reputation as a business owner, not only, and that's why I said I have three sets of customers, Sean. Remember, I started that. I had the customers actually pay. And then I have all my internal customers. That front desk is my internal customer. So I have to make sure, number one, that they're aligned with my vision and they know why I'm doing the things I'm doing, why we do the things we do, not because I think it's the best way. And then I have to be willing, Sean, as a business owner, to say, you know what? They, like for right now, I have not worked the front desk full time in about 5 years. So I heavily rely on my front desk coordinator and my office manager to tell me, hey, we need to shift something. And unless I'm completely against it, I'm like, let's try it, because it gives them ownership, but they're also at that front line. And that was one thing I loved about working at Disney, is that they had their upper executives, at least in merchandise, actually work the parks every once in a while, to remind them what it's like to work in front of guests. And I think it's just brilliant. So also, every once in a while, dear carpet cleaning owners or whoever you are, every once in a while, I jump in and do a massage. I don't want to, but I remind myself why I don't want to do it, you know, or I'll work the front desk. Same kind of thing. Shadow. There's a reason why the show Undercover Boss was so popular and why it brought about a lot of change in companies, because the owners actually saw what was really happening. And it's amazing. As you get further and further from where the action is, you lose sight of how hard that actual job is.
And that also shows your team the leadership buy-in as well, because you are willing to go and make sure that you've seen it firsthand, right? You're not just going with, oh, well, when I was doing that 5-10 years ago, that's how we did it, and I'm never changing that. You see kind of the evolution, because a lot of times, you know, we talk about communication throughout an organization. And, you know, oh, well, you can talk up, you can suggest things above. But the main reason that doesn't happen is because the leadership buy-in is just this facade. And so actually, you know, what you just talked about, getting down in there and doing it, I think is a great tip. And I always say there's notepad moments here on the Nice Job podcast where you should be, you know, furiously writing. That last answer you just gave, I think, is definitely a notepad moment for this one here. And Ramon, we could talk about so much, but I'd like to get these, you know, quick and digestible. So before we go, I want to ask you the question I've been asking everybody here in season 3, because I want to get your particular answer and honestly compare and contrast against the others. But feel free to answer the business sense or the personal sense. But the question I've been asking everybody this season is, which do you embrace more, challenges or opportunities?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like an opportunity. A challenge is too much work. I'll just be honest. In the season I'm in, again, it's funny. I try to spend 60% of my time with my kids, 20% in the office, and then 10% for my marriage and 10% for me. So it's not a lot of time. So I'm going to take opportunities rather than try to fix challenges. Now, if the opportunity fixes the challenge, fantastic. But opportunity also, you know, there's a lot more going for it. I think it's also, it takes a bit more bravery to go after the opportunity, because that's unknown. A challenge typically is something we know, and either we can't fix it, won't fix it. So I don't ignore them, but I would rather say, you know what, let me focus on opportunities. I'll give an example of my personal life. So right now, my daughter is been accepted to be a House of Delegates page in Richmond. We live in Virginia, and only 30 students were selected out of 300. So it's a really big deal. The opportunity is fantastic. So I'm going to ignore all the challenges of how expensive the clothing is. My God. Because she has to wear a certain uniform. You know, how I'm going to have to 4 times a week drive to Richmond and back, or 2 times a week drive to Richmond and back. Or the challenge of being scared because my 13-year-old is going to be in Richmond. Those are all challenges. The opportunity is too great to not worry about those challenges.
I love that. I think that's the perfect encapsulation of embracing something. So you're not, you know, you're not ignoring one or the other, but if there's an opportunity there, you're certainly going to embrace that. Ron, if someone listened to this episode and wants to embrace the opportunity of trying to connect with you or hear what you're doing or learn more about you, where should we direct them towards?
You know what? I'm going to say right now TikTok. And the reason I'm saying that, because I'm having the most fun with that app. And I am in a fun career kind of flex where I'm actually branching out beyond just day spas and talking to service-based, particularly moms who want to be a CEO, want to be a mom. And how do you balance the two? Which requires, honestly, you hiring a team, just like we talked about today, and those expectations. So if you head over to TikTok at Spapreneur, you can find me also on Facebook at Ramona Rice.
All right. We will have those linked both in the show description. And if you're watching on YouTube, you just saw it on your screen as well. So head on over and say hello to Ramona. Ramona, thank you so much for taking time. You certainly did. I know you were a little worried. It was later in the day and it's been kind of a rough one, but you brought the passion and the positivity I was looking for. And thank you sincerely for taking time out of your day to join us on the Nice Job podcast.
It is my pleasure, Sean.
Special thanks once again to Ramona Rice. Always enjoy the conversations. I was able to join her on her podcast earlier and was glad to return the favor here today. My three key takeaways for this episode. First, a little vulnerability. Ramona talked about how you really need to relinquish some control of some parts of your business and how that can make you feel vulnerable, but overall, that's going to put you in a better place to look at things from an objective view and make key decisions. Second, she talked about setting expectations well before you even arrive on site. Now, Ramona, as a spa owner, majority of her clients are coming to her brick and mortar location. But for a lot of our home service professionals listening, when you're going to people's homes, the more preparation that you can give to the expectations they should expect when they come on site and the way you present yourself once you arrive will start the customer experience off on the proper foot to get you towards that big review. And I would be remiss if my third takeaway wasn't about those reviews. Ramona talked about the confidence she now has after getting tons, she said thousands of five-star reviews, to embrace the one-star reviews. We talk a lot of times in reputation marketing about how every review can be marketing gold. And I thought Ramona laid out a great example during the episode of why it is extremely important to continually collect reviews and make it a part of your culture that feedback is a necessity. There's a takeaway that you got from this episode that I didn't mention, drop us an email, podcast@nicejob.com. There's a couple episodes to go. I hope you'll stay tuned, and we'll see you next week here on the Nice Job Podcast. Until then, hope you're being healthy, hope you're being safe, and don't forget to have a little fun out there as well.